God's given us a dream to be wet with the presence of God, to carry that to the facility that God wants us to rebuild on our property, and to so saturate that place with the presence of God and so create a learning center where people can be trained and directed in ways that now we don't always have access to because we're short on some of the media stuff that we can do here because we're limited in some of the capabilities we have, to open up doors of unlimited capability, to be able to have people from all over the community gather for coffee and study the Word of God, because I promise you one thing, in that new facility, we're going to have better coffee than Starbucks. Way better. Way better. I said way better coffee than Starbucks. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Are you trying to hurt them? No, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. You got to remember how I was raised. Every night after dinner, my mom brewed my dad a small pot of espresso. Every night. Now, many people think, well, when you drink coffee, you know, like that, you're going to stay up all night. No. No. You see, the darker the roast, the less caffeine. Tastes stronger, but there's less caffeine in it because it's burned away. The greener the bean, the more caffeine. So I always to wonder, my dad drink a pot of coffee and go to sleep, take a nap for an hour. How do you do that, right? Well, so I was a little kid, I went over and said, let me taste some of this. That's pretty smooth. It wasn't bitter. So we're going to have good coffee in our bistro, in our new facility. It's going to be good stuff, right? People are going to want to come there, not only for the coffee, but for the spiritual atmosphere we're going to create in that bistro, right? We're going to be open. That campus will have something going on 7 days a week. And it's going to be a community center the likes of which there's never been. Education is going to be a high priority. Students and children are going to be the focus of what we do the most, because it's the ones coming after us that we need to be investing in, our children and our students, because they're the ones that are going to take the reins of the church and push this thing forward in the kingdom of God. We need them full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word of God. We want a place that's full of the anointing of the Holy Spirit when we go onto that new campus. Amen? We need the release of His power to do what we've been called to do, to carry the message to our culture, to carry it in power and not in being timid about just sharing Jesus as so many seem to be. If we were not as timid as we've been, God knows where we would be today. We need to be emboldened by the presence of God because we've heard His voice so clearly, it just leaps out of us. We can't help but talk about Him. When Daniel got desperate in his prayer, God purged his lips. When God truly touches our lives, the first thing He's going to do, if He's going to speak through us, He will purge our lips. Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth, and I began to speak. And God will loose your tongue to speak His truth, and without intimidation, and fearlessly and boldly talk about the love and the mercy and the goodness of a God who's given His Son's life on the behalf of the person you're speaking to. And then you recall the story of Isaiah the prophet. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Because of his hunger and his intensity and his honesty and humility before God, an angel took a coal from the fire off of God's altar, and with it he touched Isaiah's lips and said, I sanctify your tongue, and God will now speak through you. Listen to Jeremiah. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I put my words in your mouth. That's what we need to be speaking today, church. We need to be speaking the Word of God. And if we don't know the Word of God and we haven't opened our hearts to the Word of God, you are going to battle without a weapon. Because without the sword of the Spirit, knowing God's Word and being able to apply it, you are really in a mess, because the enemy is not going to fear you if you can't wield that weapon. I put my words in your mouth. Today, I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. And if there's any salt in us and light in us, there's impact. We are going to be impact players when we're filled with the Word and the Spirit of the living God. Everywhere we go, there's going to be a reaction of some kind. Either there's going to be people flooding into the kingdom or people running in the other direction. This is bigger and better than all of our military forces can do. As wonderful as they are, and you know I have the highest regard for people who put on the uniform of the United States and serve our country. But we have weapons more powerful than any military. And with them we tear down strongholds, and we have power to build Christ's kingdom. Amen? Power is about to be released to his church. Why? Because we've been fasting, we've been praying, and God has begun to touch our mouths and put a word in us, and we cannot hold it back. We've got to speak up and speak out. And listen, we will speak healing. We will speak our children's salvation. We will speak all around our nation about turnaround and renewal and reformation. We speak hope, and we cancel fear, and we blot out the work of the adversary in our culture. Because when he touches our mouths, he puts his word in our mouths, and we speak. I will put my words in your mouths. And if we want to be God's people, we must have God's word in our mouths. He touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and spoke. In verse 18, one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. Olympic athletes spend 10, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. They practice, they practice, they practice. And then people have their 5 minutes of devotions and think they've done God a favor. Have you impressed God? Thank you. Let me have a good day. Can't spend 20 minutes at a prayer meeting, 30 minutes at a prayer meeting. Daniel was a busy man. He had the weight of the empire on his shoulders, and the three kings that he served under were relying on him to give them the right answers, okay? Daniel was busy. He had great demands on his time, counseling, directing, second in command of the greatest power on the planet in Babylon, yet he set his heart to seek God. Where do you think he got the answers that he was able to give them? Out of a book or out of his own wisdom? No. He got them from the Lord's presence. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Afterward, I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision. No one understood it because he had to be there, so to speak, literally, right? Daniel was doing his business, and he's living with this astonishment of what God is revealing to him. God, what are you doing in my life? Why are you telling me this stuff? What are you saying to me? God was touching him and giving him such a burden for his people. He's been touched. He's anointed. He carried the burden of the church of his day. He looked upon the people of Israel and why they were in the state they were in, why they were in the messes they were in, why they were being held captive as slaves. Why they lost their homeland, why they lost their temple, why they lost their holy city. He's got a burden for the needs of his people. They're spiritually bereft of any walk with God, and he's doing the king's business. He's listening to the emperor give him direction and asking him questions for wisdom and knowledge, and he's doing the king's business. He's going about his job. He's carrying out his responsibilities so well that all three kings, when they would knock somebody out of position, the next king would still want Daniel instead of ridding the staff of everybody from the previous administration. No, we're keeping Daniel. Daniel knows what he's talking about. So this guy had such a load on his shoulders going about his job. He's not thinking about how many chariots that we have to go to war, not thinking about the agenda for the day or how big the army is or other negotiations he's got to do among all the provinces. He said, I was astonished. I was overwhelmed by the burden that I carried for my people. God's searching for leadership today, spiritual leadership, not speaking a dead letter, but a life-giving word, having little impact in many cases. No, we are life givers. Everywhere we go, we should leave life and hope, not fear, in the lives of people we encounter. Church, when we speak in our homes, anywhere in our community, on the job, in the church, it must begin with the cry, God, change me. Change us. I'm unsatisfied where I am. I am not happy or pleased where I am in my condition. Calvary, this is a time of self-examination. We have had to go down and dig deeply into who we are, what our motives are, why we do what we do. When we lose ministers from our pulpits and leaving us with a very thin bench because so many have walked away simply because the pressures were so intense, they said, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to face this every day. And they've resigned their positions and resigned their credentials and walked away from their supposed calling. And we're calling it the Great Resignation, looking at what it's done, how it's decimated so many in the church today in leadership. No, we've got to self-examine. If anything that this should have caused among us is a self-examination of why, who we are, what we do, and how we do it, and why we do what we do. Because listen, we need to get a hold of God and say, I will not let you go. I am not going to stop pursuing you until we see a national turnaround, until I'm not going to let you go, until my entire family is born again. I remember my mom knew how to pray those kind of prayers. She was intense, and she was directed, and she wanted every one of her sisters and brothers to know Jesus personally and make him their Savior, and she did not let up until every one of them did that and yielded to the Lord, because she prayed the Holy Spirit conviction on every single one of them. I will not let you go until my family is saved. I don't care what other Christians do. I don't care what the culture is doing. Father, you've got your hand on my life. Your call is on me to come up and come out. I will seek your face. I'm making a commitment to press in and know you more deeply than I've ever known you before. That's the heart of Daniel. And third, Daniel was touched because he grieved over the spiritual decline of God's people and in the culture. He knew the spiritual temperature was very low among his people. That's why they were where they were. Because God told them, if you don't stop pursuing other gods and neglecting me, there's going to be a price to pay and a consequence to this. And folks, we're at that crossroads in the United States of America. We need to press in and get hold of God, because I don't want to think about the consequences that will come upon us, because God will not spare us any more than he spared his own, his chosen, if we decide we're not going to pursue the Lord. We're just going to go along with whatever the culture tells us is okay to do anymore. No. So Daniel was touched. He was burdened. He pressed in. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for three full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came across my mouth. There are many people today who will fill churches. Many, many people. And they are good people. Many of them are godly people. They're blessed. They have a great fellowship in their church, people of some conviction, but they don't grieve over the sins of our nation, nor do they grieve over the sins of the church. They're not troubled by it. They're not disturbed by it. They're not motivated by what they're watching and seeing and experiencing. In some cases, have been numbed to what's going on around them. Daniel was grieving with God's heart to intervene. They cause a national spiritual restoration. That's the movement that began in the heart of Daniel that swept throughout all the Israelis that were in captivity that got them back to their homeland. You see Daniel praying, giving thanks, making supplication. He's fasting. He's digging in. He's been blessed and prospered in Babylon. He could have gotten very comfortable. His income was at all-time highs. I mean, he had privileges. He had people serving him. There wasn't anything he didn't need at his fingertips. He had been promoted time and again, and he's been miraculously delivered out of the den of lions until the king is, did your God save you like you thought he would? Yes, he did. They haven't touched me. And the king goes and says, he says, now gather all the people that put Daniel in that position and throw them into the den of lions. And Daniel comes out of the den of lions untouched. He said, because my God sent an angel and shut the lions' mouths. When you've got the favor of God, the enemy can't touch you. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank God. He's miraculously delivered. In chapter 7, he's given this great vision. And then he says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in my body, and the visions troubled me. They disturbed me. The nation was in captivity because they forgot the Lord. Now, they checked the boxes. They still did the practices that were required of them, you know, so that the priests would check off the box for them. Well, you brought your sacrifice. And you did your duty, you showed up, and you did what you were supposed to do. But they weren't, their hearts were not after the Lord. And so God knows that, folks. He knows when we're just checking boxes. And he knows when our hearts are sincerely after him. And God was revealing to him why they were living in bondage, why they were not living according to their God-given purpose, why they were now stuck in this position, not being able to fulfill the vision God had for them. And folks, that's the way God works. Well, some people say, well, Pastor, it's been a long time since you told us we're going to build over there on that property. Yes, it has. But, you know, God's timing is perfect. And I'm not going to get ahead of God. And I'm not going to get behind God. I don't want to do either one of those. I'm going to stay with God and stay in his time and do it his way. And when his people are ready, then God will open the door. Amen? When his people are ready and the awakening takes place, watch what God's going to do. Backsliding and idol worship had crept into God's house among his family. It got in under the radar. It came in slowly, and people began to drift away from their focus on the one true God, and they enjoyed themselves doing all kinds of other things that had consequences to them because they were not pleasing to God and they were sinful in the eyes of God. And God is grieved when we go against him and his will and his plan for our lives and we kind of push him off center spot and we just say, well, I'll check the box and I'll see you then. But in the meantime, I'm doing life the way I want to do it. I'm going to do what I want to do today, my way. This is the way I feel I want to do it. No, God's not into that. God's saying, I'm not giving you a slice. I don't want you to take me as a slice of the pie. I'm the whole pie. I bleed into everything you do. I'm a part of everything you do. You wouldn't be breathing air if I didn't give you the privilege of breathing air today, God is saying. And basically, we belong to him. And we are servants of the Lord. We are here to honor God in all that we do, not just one day a week or one time during the slot that we designate during the week. So backsliding, idol worship, he's grieved by this. Not only is God grieved, now Daniel is feeling the grief that God has. And he goes to bed at night with God's purposes on his mind. And it's driving him and it's pushing him. What do you go to bed with on your mind? What's on your mind when you lie down at night? I know what's on my mind. Did I do my best for you to live? Was there anything else I could have done? Should I have done that differently? I know what's on my mind. What's on your mind when you lay down at night? How does God touch a man's life if he goes to bed every night full of fear, trepidation, concerned with what's going to happen tomorrow, or having filled his mind with garbage, the stuff he's been engaged in. How does God speak through corrupted lips? How does he get a word in edgewise when our minds are filled with everything but him and his purpose? How does he speak through a defiled mind? He won't. When Daniel went to bed, what God showed him troubled him, burdened him, disturbed him. Daniel was given an open heaven because he sought the Lord, because he pressed in to the presence of God. He has an open heaven with a vision for the future of God's people and for the people that come after them, known as the church, affecting us even in our day. He is in the prophetic realm because God is speaking to him about his people. God sees his heart, his posture, it's set. God knows Daniel will never turn back. God knows Daniel's not going to be corrupted by the king. He will never become spiritually lazy. He's not going to sit back and get on cruise control. He will be there when I need him to speak. Daniel will speak boldly on my behalf. And understand the burdened heart your pastor carries today. I'm going up into his presence. I'm coming out of his presence. I'm seeking him until I've heard what I need to hear, more than I've heard, than I've ever heard in my past. I want more to hear. And here's what Daniel saw: wicked strongholds over his city crashing down. Every evil influence destroyed. Because when you start praying like Daniel prayed, and you start loosing the archangel Michael and all the armies and the hosts of heaven, all the warriors that God has assembled, and they go to war in the heavenlies over a community, over a people, and they start beating down the enemy that has held us captive and held us under strongholds. Daniel saw those strongholds collapsing over Persia. He saw them collapsing over Israel, and he saw the purposes of God being victorious. Wicked strongholds in the city coming down. Every influence that was evil destroyed. Spiritual restoration. God and his people having an open communication. The release of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Spirit. He sees the last days and he's mourned because his people are still sleeping and they're not living in their destiny. And he says, God, give that to us today. Some today have closed their ears and hearts to every prophetic word. They don't want to hear the prophetic because it troubles. It's troubling because it rocks you out of your comfort when you hear the prophetic. That's what prophecies do. It rocks you. It shocks you. It tells you it's not okay to be complacent. It's not okay to live like this. When was the last time you heard a preacher really get into the details of the second coming of Jesus Christ? And what heaven is going to be like and what hell is going to be like. Because for many, they just want fun time in church. Nothing wrong with having fun. Church, we should have a happy time. We have great fellowship, lots of fun, lots of laughs, lots of backslapping and encouraging and having a good old time with the brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. But Paul calls it, in some places, people who have itching ears. Now, just make me feel okay. Tickle my ears. Don't tell me anything that's going to make me uncomfortable, because I don't want to be uncomfortable. Don't get me out of my comfort zone. Don't push me to do stuff, you know, because I don't want to do anything but just show up and sit in church. Okay. Where's the grief over the lost in our community? I mean grief, weeping for those who don't know Jesus. We stand on the brink of the end of days. When you feel bowed before the Lord and you feel and emulate his grief over the lost, because his heart grieves every time someone he's loved all the way to their last breath still refuses his mercy and falls into the pit of hell. He's grieved over that. And you can carry grief Even while you have a smile on your face, you're still burdened in your heart. We're not defeated. We are victors. But where is that constant concern over the condition of our society? Because that is the heart of God, the condition of our culture. And God's speaking to you because he wants you to speak to others. He doesn't speak to us so we enjoy it ourselves. We get that, but he's speaking to us so we can speak that to others. He depends on our voices. He's not sending an angel to come and do that work for us. If your family is going to be born again, it won't be because some angel showed up. The word says some people are not grieved. They're too busy parked on Fantasy Island with their screens while our culture is dying, blinded to the culture's needs while they munch on a bag of potato chips. God's touched Daniel because he looked around. He saw the plight of his nation now living in exile as captives. And he knew they could be the greatest, that God intended for them to be his voice in their world. But now they're paralyzed because they failed to place God first. And Daniel's overburdened with this. So Daniel asked God, speak to me. Give me a word that will loose this. And he pressed in, he fasted, he prayed and confessed. And then at the end it says, God reveals his heart to those who cleanse their hearts. Daniel acknowledged his own sin and confessed. I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God, made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. So he said, it's on us. We're here because it's on us. Daniel identified with the sins of his backslidden nation. He's very transparent. He wanted nothing to stand between God's purposes and their lives. And we can have a prayer journal. We can attend prayer meetings. But prayer without purity is powerless. The word of God is speaking today. It's a pure word through lips that have been purged. And when we get seriously intense before the Lord, then we begin to move into places God has for us. You're willing to seek a touch from God. He said, I fasted, I prayed, I sought the Lord. I disciplined myself. And at the moment he did that, the word records God sent Gabriel to him with the answer. All hell tried to stop the word from appearing to us. All of hell will come against us when we attempt to pay the price, because the enemy will not be pleased when we decide we're not staying here any longer. We're moving. Amen? There's a promise in this act of intensity in seeking God, because we serve a God who loves to make promises and fulfill them. And when you fast and pray, you've got a promise. You seek God and pray, and you come to the Master, Lord, I'm nothing, but I'm holding to your word. You made promises that if I seek you with all of my heart and all of my soul, I will find you. I will lay hold on God's promises for this last day restoration you want to pour out in the United States, and I will not let go until I see it with my own eyes. I'm asking you to keep your word. Okay, I'm ready to close here, but I just have one more thing I want to say. If we can just go ahead and play, sweetie. Okay. I think about my friends who are special operators, the arduous training that they have. And we almost lost a whole bunch of them, a generation of them, because we're going to kick them out of the military because in good conscience, some of them said, we're not taking vaccine, not taking it. Think about that. When the Afghani forces drove the Russians out of Afghanistan, and then we went in, they laughed and said, they're going to drive you out too. Well, they said, you're weak. But no, we sent our special operators in. And we drove the Taliban out of Afghanistan and ISIS out of Afghanistan. And then we had leadership who decided that we were just going to walk away and not leave what we needed to leave in place to withstand Taliban returning. Didn't even tell them we're leaving Bagram. We'll see you. here's all the stuff you need to defend yourself, and we're leaving a group of people here that will aid you and enable you to defend yourself. Just walked off. Left still hundreds of Americans behind enemy lines. We've never done that in our history. But when there's special operators at work, you can take down all kinds of encampments, all kinds of strongholds. They're the most feared group of people on the planet. Why? Because of their past history. What is true in the physical is true in the spiritual. And here's what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. He's been raising up an army within the army, a Holy Spirit covert black ops special operators. Enrollment comes by the Holy Spirit touching your heart. David had these mighty warriors around him that he taught and trained how to fight, whose heart God had touched, and God stirred them. And in these special forces are the young, the middle-aged, and the elders. And in secret training, through intimacy with the Lord and His Word, they're taught how to fight in the valleys, on mountains, anywhere and everywhere. We are feared in hell because when we are on fire with the Word of God in us, we're feared by principalities and powers of darkness, feared because we have had a history of many victories and the tearing down of strongholds. These operators have endured pain and suffering and testing times. But all over the world, even in countries ruled by Islam, here in our own community as well, special operators are beginning to win some great victories. You'll hear some of that on the 27th, prayer victories. And although God can use numbers, He chooses to use those who are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, because one of these praying, fasting forces can chase 1,000, and two of them can put 10,000 to flight. Our weapons are prayer, fasting, purity, and a clear word from the throne of God. And God is raising up His people of all ages, even those who have been battle-weary, but restored, and those who have had great experience in the trenches, who will teach a new generation how to fight and how to win. Amen? And although the church has taken a hit from Satan, I want you to know, it's not only the return that we're looking at, not the return of Jesus, though we are looking for that, the return of the church to be the church before the return of Jesus. I want you to know, we have a clear word from the Lord. It's called arise. It's time for the church to arise and to be heard. You can make an acrostic out of that. We need the anointing. We need revelation. We need inspiration. We need sensitivity to the presence of God as to how to move. And we need endurance in the E word, because we're going to have a battle on our hands, right? And when God has enabled us, even though we took a hit, there's a counterattack being birthed out of fasting and praying, and we will push back the gates of hell. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God will present His Son with a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And nothing I can say to you will make you fall before the Lord in humility like Daniel. But it has to be something in each of our hearts, a desire to see the hand of God working in our circumstances. Ask Him, give me that desire, Lord. What I don't have is now what I want. In full pursuit, come back to You, Lord, in full and completeness. But we must set our hearts toward the Lord. Amen. So let's stand. Let's ask God to help us to set our hearts toward the Lord. And for the church to arise. Arise. Thank You, Lord. And just as the same Spirit that quickened the body of Jesus in that tomb after 3 days and three nights. And God said, arise. And he rose. I believe I'm hearing a clear word from God to his church today. And I believe he's saying to his bride, arise, arise, get up, stand up, and be who you are and I made you to be. Lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. I want all you have for me. I want to be your church. I want to be your people. I want to hear from you. I need to see you at work in our culture. Folks, it's not going to be the government that fixes the messes we've got. They created them. It's going to be God's people, the church, that have the answers for this culture. There's no organization, there's no entity, there's no group that's going to fix it. They don't have the answers. We have the answer. It's God's word. Everything we need is in the word of God. So lift your hands and say, Lord, use us. Use me. Touch my mouth. Put a word in my mouth. Cleanse my heart. Set me in your direction, Lord. While eyes are closed for just a few moments, whether you're at home or you're in the room. If you've been living under the spirit of fear, dread, condemnation, failure, carrying a burden because you don't know how to get forgiveness for the things that you participated in, the things you've done, decisions you've made, I offer you Jesus. He's the only remedy for our failures and our sins. And if you need him to forgive you, slip that hand straight up. Say, Lord, I need forgiveness today. Lord, I've been battling, weary under this load I've been carrying, and I want freedom today. Lift your hand. Lift your hand if that's you. Get it up really high. And hold it up until someone makes his way to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. To pray this prayer with you. And we're going to pray it aloud at home. You can pray with us as well. Say, Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. I failed you. I can't fix what I've done. But you did. You gave your son to die in my place and to bring me home. And today, I want to be a new creation. I want to be born again. I want a second chance. Forgive me. Help me to live for you as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer at home, please immediately connect with us. You can call in, email us immediately. We'd like to give you some material to take with you. If you prayed that prayer here,